Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is here. He always shows up.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Cheryl's got some wonderful testimonies. We want to hear these.
Yes, I do. Hello, my dear pastors. I have a great praise report. You prayed for me a couple of days ago when I was doing my best and had been doing my best for such a long time to overcome feelings of irritation, frustration, and dislike toward a dear woman that was in her Bible study that I am so close to. And you said you prayed for me and cast spirits out from both of us, and it was done. I believe that wholeheartedly, and I have such a good report in that I did a prayer breakfast with her yesterday, and it was such a joy. Things she had said before that bothered me so much, I felt nothing. Thank you, Jesus, and I thank you, thank you, thank you, my dear pastors. My husband and I have both of you in our prayers. Blessings and love, Susan.
In other words,
she was upset with someone that was in her Bible class, her Bible study, and for whatever reason, every time this woman would say something, it would just irritate her. So we cast the spirits out of her and cast the spirits out of the woman, and now they get along great. Praise the Lord. You know what, and you cast the spirits out with Luke 10:19-20. You tell them to go into the abyss and stay there according to Revelation 20, verse 3.
I've got to tell you something right quick about this lady. Mm-hmm. When she wrote us, she said, I've used that Luke 10:19-20, but it's not working for me. Mm-hmm. We don't realize what our problem is in the church. The problem in the church is that sin of unbelief. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't even think like, I mean, you got to really believe in your heart that when you use Luke 10:19-20, that it's going to work.
Amen.
Not I hope it will. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll work next time, but maybe next month, but not now. No, faith is something you have to believe is now.
Amen.
And when you speak it, you've got to believe in your heart that it is going to work.
Amen.
And that's where we miss it. So when she wrote us, I told her, I said, the problem is spirits. There's spirits in you and spirits in that other lady, and they're trying to prevent you from enjoying life. But I said very carefully, I said, when I command those spirits to leave, they're going to leave, I guarantee it.
Amen.
Now, you know, I don't care what kind of, I mean, you can have all kinds of stuff in your head that's up here knocking on the door saying, you fool, this ain't going to work. It ain't going to work, but you can't go there with it. You've got to believe it is done.
Yes.
I mean, yesterday I was listening to a story about how in Africa, in fact, we got a gentleman that's just here today that had a trip to Africa. But anyway, this place that these people went, they went and they went for a walk one afternoon, and there was about six or eight of them, and they went for a walk down the road, and they're walking, and all of a sudden this pastor that's with them realizes that the guy that's leading them does not have a gun. He goes running up there and says, where's your gun? He said, oh, we're just out for a walk, you know, we won't need a gun. There's only big elephants on this trail. He said, but we need a gun. He said, we need a gun. Does he sound like he has any faith?
No.
No, not at all. So anyway, he says, I'm petrified. He definitely doesn't have any faith. He's petrified. He's walking down the road. And he said, all of a sudden, here comes a big bull elephant that come out of the herd, and he come running up there to a little ways, and he stops and he looks at them standing there. Now, the guide told him, said, whatever you do, don't run. Whatever you do, when that elephant comes, let me be in charge, but do not run. Don't turn to run. Don't just stay in line. Now, God, I thought, you know, this is a good faith story because this is the way faith works. So anyway, as they're sitting there, that elephant came running down the road. He said he just charged them. And he said, that little guy is just standing dead still. Said the elephant gets several yards down the road, and all of a sudden he says, and when he does that like that, the elephant stops. And the elephant looks around for a minute, and this guy's telling everybody, whatever you do, do not run. Stand still. Do not run. Everybody's thinking, this fool, we need to run so we can get out of here. So this elephant, after he slaps his hands one time, the elephant looks again, and then he charges him again. As he comes down the road, he gets just a few yards from this guy, and he said, he's screaming to the people, do not run. What kind of faith does it take now? This big bull elephant, he's running out, he's running. And as he gets close, this last time, this guy steps up and says, and stops dead still. He said that bull elephant stopped dead still, looked around at him, nobody moved nowhere. He turned around and went back the other way down the road. Now then, I've been to Africa before myself, and I understand where this guy is coming from, because when I was down there, they told us that I was at Mount Kilimanjaro. When I was down there, they told us, whatever you do, after dark, don't go outside your tent, your little house that you're living in. Don't go outside. Whatever you do, wait for a guide after dark. Make sure the guy that comes to pick you up to take you down to the lunchroom has a gun. Don't come outside that door unless the guy is there with a gun. So you look around and you think about, you know, these are perfect examples of the way the devil works. And he's a roaring lion. But anyway, they looked at this, and he looked down at the restaurant, and there's lights all between here and there. And he says, I think we ought to go on down there and eat. I'm hungry. His wife says, no, that guy told us, do not go outside without a guard with a gun. It's night. It's after dark. So come back in and close the door. Well, he went outside two or three times over about 2 hours, and he didn't go very far, but he stood right there in the front. Finally, he said, I'm going down there. And his wife said, no, you're not. Said, that guard clearly told you, that guy, and said, don't you go outside until you've got a man here with a gun. So he finally, about another hour, they waited. He wanted to go eat. Finally, about an hour, there was a guard showed up, and he said, well, he said, we could have walked on down there. He said, the reason that we didn't come get you earlier is just right around the corner right there, there was a big lion, a big leopard laying there waiting for you to take one more step off your porch. He said, if you'd have took one more step, you would have got eaten. That's why we told you, do not go outside. Now then, the devil, he works the same way. I mean, he worked the same way whenever this lady that Cheryl's reading this about, she said, I tried what you told me to take Luke 10, 19, and 20 and command those spirits of curse to leave, but they didn't obey me. Satan was sitting there on the front porch saying, she doesn't believe. She doesn't believe. Guarantee she doesn't believe. So if she'll just take another step, if she'll just take one more step, I will get her. I'm that roaring lion, you know, and I will get you. So whenever we got the call or got the request, I always pray the Word of God just exactly like it's written, and then I command those spirits of curse to leave, and my last words is, now, ma'am, I guarantee it's done because it is written. Praise. And then you look at the results. Sure. 2 days later, we get the results. And that's the way the devil works. You've got to realize he's out there to get you. He's waiting like a roaring lion. I mean, you talk about something. when that elephant, in other words, when I went to Africa, we had lions right running along beside the car. But I didn't know they don't see like you'd see. They see different things than you do. So if you ride along in that car and stay in that car, they don't see you in that car. They see the car, but they don't see you in the car. You're all one thing to them. So anytime, year, this has been years, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago at least, when I went down to Africa. But whenever that guy told me, he said, when we're out here, whenever you see the lions, whatever you do, don't get out of the truck. Because he said, they see an individual item. And if it's small, like you are, he said, they will kill you in a heartbeat. Well, the other day, Cheryl and I was reading a deal in India. A guy in India, they're driving their vehicle down the road, and they stopped to go to the bathroom. And whenever they stop to go to the bathroom, they look out, and there is a bear standing out there. And so the guy tells somebody, he says, here, take my camera and get the picture with that bear. And they said, you fool, that bear, that's a wild bear. Oh, no, he won't hurt me. And this guy gives him the camera and walks over there and going to take a picture, and that bear just kills him right there on the spot. Now, and that's what the devil, when you're on the devil's ground, when you're in his territory, I mean, he will get you. But learning how to walk in faith is what's separating the church from these wonderful benefits that belongs to us, like this lady. I wrote her back and told her, ma'am, you've got to take Luke 10, 19, and 20, and you've got to believe it with no doubt in your heart. And when you speak, you've got to know it's done. But when she wrote back, she said, I tried it and it didn't work. That told me right there she didn't do what I told her to do. She tried to do it. Now then, if when that elephant come running at that guy, if he had swatted his hands a couple of times and he starts running backwards, or told the people to run, that bull elephant would have killed no telling how many of those six or eight people. You see what I mean? That's the way the devil works. And if you want to beat the devil, the way you do it is exactly the way it's written. And so if you take that word, you stand on that word, you can overcome that devil. And then if you close your email, now then I have spoken God's word as it's written. Now I guarantee it's done. We've got to where we almost use those words on every email that we're written to. Now, I guarantee you it is done because it is written. And lo and behold, you see what happened. The lady got delivered, did she not?
Yes.
So, wow, okay, go ahead, honey.
Okay. Last Sunday at 3 a.m., I fell hard on concrete. I don't even know how I got up, but the Lord knows. I prayed then, and y'all prayed, and the manifestation is 99% done. I could have broken several bones, hip, wrist, arm, leg, or shoulder, but praise God, nothing was broken, not even a bruise. I could not start my car or write on Sunday, and the only reason I got here was my determination, and God did the rest. My stomach was even upset. God gets all the glory. God is faithful. Thank you for your prayers, Deborah. So she bumped her head, and everything got fixed in Jesus' mighty name.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, this lady had a stroke, and she called here, and she got Jenny as the prayer warrior, and Jenny prayed with her, and she couldn't play the guitar anymore because of the stroke. She wrote just the last Thursday, by His stripes we were healed. Thank you, Jesus. There's power in the blood. I am opening up worship services at the fairgrounds this Sunday, today, July the 29th, singing His praises at 10:30 a.m. I'm also opening at the band shell on Wednesday, August the 1st at 6 p.m. because I've got a reason to sing. Healed of her stroke.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah. It's amazing how you what you can do if you learn to walk in faith. Now then, I had the privilege while ago while we were sharing testimonies. I've got one that a young man told me about just a few minutes ago. This young man sitting right back here, he's a Christian boy that's got a home church. He travels a lot. He's out of town a lot. But when he's at home with his home church, they go on mission trips. And he said that they went on a mission trip to Africa. Now, is that a long ways off? That's halfway around the world. Anyway, he said they went on a mission trip, and he said the mission trip they went on to Africa, the area they went to still had chiefs and people that run the government. And before that you could talk to anybody about anything, if you came into the area, you had to be interviewed to find out what you were going to do and what you were there for. So anyway, one of the chiefs, I think the chief, one of the chief or the chief's wife or whatever it was, she had had a stroke and was paralyzed on one side. So when they went in and told them that they had somebody here that needed to be interviewed, she said, "You mean these people come from halfway around the world to tell us about a man named Jesus?" She said, "I have got to talk with these people. I want to see what they have in this Jesus that would drive them to go halfway around the world." Now, I want you to think about what is being said. You could have this same Jesus in your back pocket, in your shirt pocket, and you could go and talk to people all over this country. You can go across the street. You can talk to them in elevators. You can talk to them at service stations. And guess what most of us don't ever do? Most of us don't ever talk to nobody about Jesus. You know, I mean, isn't it a shame? So here's this young man sitting here that him and his team went to Africa, halfway around the world, to talk to people about Jesus. So whenever the chief wanted to know, well, I want to know what it is about this man or this person that's so unique and so powerful that you would take time off and go halfway around the world to tell somebody about Jesus. So I think he said his pastor's wife said, "We come to tell people about Jesus because he saves their souls and heals their bodies." So she went over and began to pray over this lady or chief or whichever one it was. And as she's praying over this woman, this paralyzed woman, all of a sudden begins to move, and she gets up and stands up and walks outside with this pastor's wife and her praying. You talk about a demonstration of the Spirit's power. When you have had the privilege to see what God can do just a little bit, you won't have any kind of a problem sharing this Jesus, because this Jesus, this same Jesus that Cheryl and I talk about having these testimonies for all these people all the time, he's available to you and me every day, everywhere we go, to talk to people about Jesus. Now then, if you don't get them healed, if you never learn anything about healing, that's okay. But if you will learn to pray, if you will learn to take that How to Get a Lost Person Saved CD or DVD, if you will get a copy of that and you'll start listening to that over and over and over, you probably won't have to listen to it over 300 or 400 times. Now, I'm serious now. I want to build your faith to the point that you will know when you get ready to lead somebody, when somebody says, "I've got somebody that," and we have these phone calls or emails all the time, "Will you please pray for my cousin or Bob or Jane or whatever? they're lost and they don't know nothing about Jesus. I mean, it's just like, I can tell you story after story about children, 10, 12, 15-year-old children, stood right here. And they, when they come up, maybe their grandmother and grandfather bring them up, and I say, what is wrong? And the grandmother will say, well, he's lost, and we can't do nothing with him. What do you think is running, what do you think is causing that problem with that child? It's Satan. It's a devil. It's a demon of hell. How much power and authority do you have over that devil?
Oh.
Well, why in God's name don't we use these things? Why do we let it, you know, why don't we do it in faith instead of just doing a shotgun blast something? I've seen it. Cheryl's been sitting right here beside me. Some of you other people have been in it, and I've been right here whenever I would kneel down with a little 10 or 12-year-old boy or girl and ask them, do you know Jesus? No. Would you like to know Jesus? No. And I reach up and put my hands on their shoulder, and I say, you devil of hell, I know you're blinding this boy's mind, so in the name of Jesus Christ, I have Luke 10, 19, and 20, which guarantees me that I have power and authority over you. Now I'm going to command you come out of this child and to go to the abyss. And I don't care what anybody tells you that you can't do that. You can do that. If you have the faith, you can drive that devil to the abyss and tell that beast to never come back. Because when Jesus, several times he commanded a demon to come out, he said, now come out of this child or come out of this person and never return to them. And so all you got to do is add in Jesus' name. And when you do that, that spirit has got to go, and that demon has got to obey you. And many a time, whenever I do that, one time, command that demon that's blinding that child's mind one time to go and to never come back. And then I ask the Lord. I say, Lord, I know that nobody can come into the kingdom except they've been drawn by the Spirit.
Yeah.
So, Father, in Jesus' name, since you're my Father, and I'm your son, and I know you want this boy saved, I know you put me on this earth to get this boy saved, so in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to convict this boy of sin and call him into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him and fill him with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And I say, thank you, Lord, for doing it. It's done. Now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? Oh, I'd love it. That quick and that easy. I've seen that. I've seen it several times. Some of you may have done it. Cheryl and I have prayed for people. You know, just last week or week before last, we had a guy. He didn't want to do nothing for nobody but do something wrong. I mean, he is going to hurt people. He don't want to do anything right. Cheryl and I, we took authority over those spirits. I commanded those spirits to come. In fact, it was two of them, wasn't it, or one of them?
There were a couple of them.
Yeah,
he had homicide spirits and suicide spirits, and the other one had a suicide spirit.
It's amazing that when you realize that all these things are happening through spirits, evil spirits are driving people's lives. And that's why all the things that happened to you and me. Because these spirits, they come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if you open a door, they're going to be there just like that. I just stand in awe of thinking about that roaring lion. Satan as a roaring lion. A roaring lion waiting to pounce upon you and me. He's waiting to pounce. He's waiting for you to give him an open door. And all he needs is a little unbelief. That's all he needs. I mean, if you just unbelief, the evil heart of unbelief will ruin you. I mean, it will absolutely ruin you, and it will... It's amazing if we would only believe. And the more that Cheryl and I get to work when we pray for people, whenever we get these people that write us on emails, whenever we come back, you got to remember when you pray, You got to speak to these things like you know what you're doing. You can't put any kind of unbelief. If you add any kind of unbelief, you're going to lose this battle. If Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that these evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven."
Amen.
Now then, if he's given you that kind of power, and he has, to be his ambassador while you're here on this earth, we ought to be able to kick these devils out of people and pray for people and get people set free. And you know, when you think about, I can't do anything, I'm just one person. Let me tell you, some of you are here that's never heard this story. Some of you heard it several times. But I was on Daystar Television years ago, on the prayer lines for a TV show that we had down there. And there was when the show went on online, they spoke a few minutes and then they had a call-in number. And this young man called and he said, "I need to talk to a prayer warrior." So I said, "How can I help you?" He said, I had a wife that left me and the boys and went to work in a strip club. And I said, "Oh, well, she's not born again, that's for sure." He said, "No," said, when we got married, wasn't either one of us saved. Now then, if a man and a woman, neither one of them saved when they get married, there ain't no telling what you're going to get. You know, I mean, you know, you got two devils living together. And that's literally what you got, two devils. So if one of them gets saved and then the other one don't, you know, well, you know, now you got a devil living in a house and a saved person living in a house. It's like having a little bunny rabbit running around there with a, anyway, you're going to see some battles. It ain't going to work. And so whenever he told me that she left him and gone to work in a strip club, I said, "But you know, that's just the devil doing that." I said, "We have all power and all authority." So I said, "Just hang on. We're going to go through and we're going to kick out these devils." Well, he never heard anything like this. So if she's going to work in a strip club, and I'm a son of God, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I got power and authority, I can take those spirits that's in her that's causing her to do what she's doing, and I can talk to those spirits by faith, and I can tell those spirits what to do, and they have to obey me. They have to obey you. You know, but people, we just turn our back and walk on and say, "Well, you know, I can't do anything. I'll pray for you." Then they think, "Wow, why should I pray? That woman's been gone. She's working at a strip club. She's one of them dancers and belly dancers or whatever they call them." So they said, "They ain't used me to pray for that. How could I affect that woman?" Well, let me tell you what, you have all the power on earth to affect that woman. Because the spirits that are driving her, you have power over those spirits. So anyway, I told that boy, I said, "Okay, we're gonna go to the throne of grace." Now, how did he say come to the throne of grace?
Boldly.
Come boldly into the throne room and tell me what you want. So don't go in there in the throne room and say, "Oh, Dad, I'm not sure you can help me with this." No, walk in there and say, "Father, I need some help. I'm your son, and I need some help, and I know you can do exceedingly abundantly above all I can even think or imagine. So, Lord, this is my situation. I know you know what it is, but I'm going to tell you again anyway." I said, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, this boy's wife left him and his children and went to work in the strip club. She's stripping her body at a strip club. And so I need you to send me some spirits and give me the power. And I'm going to take this power and authority. I'm going to command those spirits of curse to leave that woman and go to the abyss and never come back. Now then, I command you, Satan, I demand and command you to come out of this woman. I know the scripture says if any is lost, they're lost because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. So Satan, I command you to your demons of curse to come out of this woman, to go back to the abyss and leave her alone. Now, Father, I ask you to send the precious Holy Spirit to convict this woman of sin, draw her into the kingdom of God, gloriously save her, fill her with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I thank you for bringing this woman back into the kingdom, bringing her back home. And after I've kicked these devils out from blinding her mind, I ask you to let her husband draw her, it's the Holy Spirit to draw her into the kingdom, then her husband be able to lead her to Christ. And for her to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I want to thank you for changing this couple's life forever in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Somebody said, you mean you think that prayer is going to do something? I guarantee that prayer is going to do something because I spoke it and it's the Word of God.
Amen.
And so I spoke that prayer, commanded those spirits to come out and to leave. And I said, now, son, give me a call and tell me what the Lord does. Well, we were on the air every Friday night. So next Friday night, as soon as the show went on the line and the phone numbers come up, my phone rang immediately. And when it did, he said, hey, I said, this is Daystar. How can I help you? He said, I need to talk to Thurman Scribner. I said, well, sir, that's Thurman Scribner. He said, well, I'm so-and-so. I said, okay, how can I help you? He said, you don't remember me? I said, sir, I talk to a lot of people on these prayer lines. No, I don't remember you. He said, I'm the guy that had the wife that was a strip dancer. I said, okay, I remember that. I got you. I now know who you are. I said, no problem. So I said, what did the Lord do? He said, within one hour after you hung up that phone last Friday night, he said, within 1 hour, my wife, my ex-wife, called me and said, it's like scales fell off of her eyes. And she didn't realize that she was dancing in a club, her nude body before all these men. But said she saw what she was doing, so said she picked up the phone and called me and wanted to know if I'd come down to Dallas and pick her up. I told her, of course I'll come pick you up. So she said, I went down there and got her. And went in and got her. We turned in her uniforms and everything. And said, we come home. And said, before the night was over, I had the privilege to lead my wife, my ex-wife, to Christ. Led her to Christ. He said, the next day, we went to, or Monday it was, I guess. He said, when the offices were open, we went down and got a marriage license. And 3 days later, we were remarried. And he said, things at our house have been really good this week. I said, well, fantastic, son. I said, how long has your wife been gone? He says, 14 years. 14 years she had been gone. How much power and authority do you have over those people? If you do something in faith, you got all kinds of power. If you do something not in faith, what's going to happen? When you pray, I want you to look at this scripture. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I want you to realize what you got to do when it comes to faith. James 1, 6 and 7. Cheryl's going to read that to us.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
If you don't do what you do in faith, what are you going to get from God?
Nothing.
If you don't get nothing from God, what could I have possibly done with that demon and that woman if I hadn't had God behind me?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. But if you come out there with your guns blazing, I mean, I'm talking about you got to come out there blazing.
Yeah.
I think about, you know, when I was a young kid, I lived out on the farm. I was raised out in the country. You know, no houses for miles, not like it is around here where you got houses everywhere. In fact, my grandson the other day right here, he's about 14, nearly 14. Him and two or three of his buddies took a little BB gun of some kind. I got 100 acres of land here, so they got a little room to play. They went down here to this big stock tank, water tank, on the side the road, and they're shooting at frogs or something with a little pellet gun. All of a sudden, I didn't know they were down there. I didn't care. You know, boys, they're doing something. I don't care what they're doing. But anyway, they were just out having a good time. All of a sudden, I looked up, and there's a police car sitting over in the front of the yard. So that did get my attention. I said, well, I wonder what he wants. So I walked over there, and my knocking on the front door, my grandson and his two buddies come to the front door. I said, what's going on? He said, were you boys just down here at the road with a gun? They said, yes, sir. He said, what kind of gun was it? They said, a pellet gun. I said, well, you know, what happened? He said, well, somebody said that they pointed the gun at them when they drove by.
Oh.
These kids are pointing at frogs, you know, whatever. A pellet gun won't shoot from the side of that tank to the road. So if they did point it at you, of course, you know, you don't know if it's a real gun or, you know, a 30-06. You know, so you got to kind of handle every case. Because you don't know what it is, right? I mean, if you've got a gun now today, you got a problem. But, you know, whenever you're living out here in the country like this, you know, it's not a problem, you don't think, until you start shooting at something. But, you know, when you really look around, you see that there's people everywhere. And you have to be careful, and you can't go out and just shoot a gun like you can when I was a kid at home. When I was a kid at home, I would work and save my money, and I wanted a set of 22 pistols. So I that's back in the Roy Roger day. So, I mean, living out in the country in the middle of nowhere, I worked combining oats all summer long in the heat. I mean, we went out and combined all day long, every day, except Sunday. And I bought myself a set of 22 double nine pistols. They're beautiful. I still have those things. They were a beautiful pistol. And I would take those pistols, and I would go out there and take some cans about four here to the back of the room. And I'd set me up some of those cans. And then I would start practicing to shoot. And to show you how many bullets I shot, there's probably no telling how many thousand bullets I shot. Well, I learned this watching somebody's TV. You have to be careful what you watch on TV. But Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and all that bunch, they had their pistols, they had their horses. I had a horse, you know, they'd run, jump on the back of that horse up on it. I used to do all those things as a kid living out in the country. And then whenever I'd go hunting, I'd practice shooting those guns. And after I'd practice for a while, I got to practice, you know, they had to draw, you know, all that good stuff, you know, you learn a lot on TV. You have to really be careful what you watch on TV. Now, this things you learn today is a little different than the things I learned.
Yeah.
But you have no idea, if you didn't know me and heard me tell this, you'd never know that I used to go out on Sunday afternoon after church and take my pistols and my boxes of shells, and I would go out and practice shooting. And I would take a can of some kind, and I would throw that can up in the air, and I would draw that pistol, and I would shoot that can. Wow. And with that pistol, I used to be able to hit that can three times before it got to the ground.
Wow.
Now, you think I practiced a lot?
Yeah.
Yep, I guarantee I practiced a lot. But it was nothing unusual. My dad, we used to go down to the river fishing, and I'd stand up in the back of the pickup. You know, they wouldn't let you 50 miles an hour today. They better not sign some kid up there standing up, you know, with his head leaning over the front of the pickup. We never thought nothing about it. That's the way we lived. You know, so that's just the way life was. Many a time, armadillos.
Uh-oh.
And they, there was all kinds of them down on the river, down the Colorado River. And we would drive along and I had my pistols and one of those armadillos or a cottontail rabbit or jackrabbit or something would run off and I'm standing up right in the back of that pickup at 30 and 40 miles an hour whenever one of those rabbits would run. Now, if they didn't run, you were very hard to see. Very hard to see. If they would just stay still. But, you know, they're like everybody else. In fact, the other day, Cheryl and I had an experience like this just a few days ago. We took Lily, our little puppy, and she goes down the concrete road with us. And from the time we get to the end of the concrete up here till we got to the mailbox up there, I think we must have seen at least three little cottontails, didn't we? At least three. But those little rabbits, they stood perfectly still. I mean, you could see that. Cheryl said, look, you can even see their eyes blinking. We're so close. I'm serious. But they didn't run. Lily run as far as this aisle is wide from some of those little rabbits, and those rabbits never moved. And by not moving, guess what? She didn't see them. She walked right by, run right by. We walked right by those rabbits. They didn't move. But if they're sitting there, but if you want to, if they had to run, it's just like that deal with that elephant a while ago. You've got to learn how the devil works. You've got to learn you have power and authority over him. But I guarantee you, in the throne room of God, whenever that devil, when Jesus and Satan are up there together watching over this court case between you and your prayer, as you're there, if you do something and say, now then, it is written, this is what it says, Satan, you must take your evil spirits and you must come out of this woman, you must quit blinding her mind to the truth, and Father, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit to convict that woman of sin, draw her back into the kingdom of God, Lord, to save her and fill her with the Holy Ghost. And when I say now, I guarantee it's done because it is written. When that happens, I can just see Jesus up there. I can see him throw his hands up. I can see that big gavel up on that. The Father says, case closed. We won the case. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Now then, if just about the time you get through with it and you say, our case is done, I hope.
No.
I can only see Jesus say, well, we had that one won.
Yeah.
We had that one won till you opened your mouth. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, if he says you have to do this with how much?
No doubt. No wavering.
You wouldn't really think that Jesus would be that hard to get along with. But Jesus probably didn't really make those rules. The Father made those rules. When he makes those rules, he makes them, and can he deviate from them?
No.
They cannot be deviated from. So if you want to see things happen, you got to remember, you are not trying to persuade God to do something he's reluctant to do. You're doing something that he wants you to do. He wants you to kick these devils out of these people.
Amen.
He wants you to speak in faith and do things according to his word. He does not want you to fail any time. You do not want to fail. He wants you to win your case every time. If we only could do it God's way. It's amazing. When you think about the animal kingdom and the way it works, You can look at it real careful and see how the satanic kingdom works. Satan and Jesus, two of the best attorneys in the universe. All power is given to ours. You do not want to give him power by sin. Because if you sin, you're going to open a door. In other words, what could you possibly do? How about getting into unforgiveness? Will that work? If you get into unforgiveness, what's going to happen? You're going to open a door. You're going to give Satan legal right. You're going to get into unforgiveness and bitterness. And then he's going to go running right through that hole. And he's going to come into your house. And he's going to do something that you ain't going to like. He's going to put something just like this this poor woman, or this young man back here from that made the African trip. He said it was something. It was amazing. If I understood him right, and he may have to tell me if I'm right or wrong here, because I was trying to pay attention a while ago. But he said the people that were over there in front of them was a team of people that had been there for a long time. And they also were teaching people about this same Jesus. But they came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. They laid hands on this chief or chief's wife, whatever, and they were healed. But he said when that happened, the other people that were there walked out. I'll tell you what really gets me. I was on a TV show, worldwide TV show, here a while back. And while we were talking, the man that runs the show wanted to know how I made it back years ago when my wife and my daughter were both killed in a car wreck at the same time. I told him, I said, well, there's not anything really to get over. I said, they belong to Jesus. He says in his word that when we accept him as Lord and Savior, we are no longer our own. We belong to him. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
So if it says that, then do I have any legal reason to tell him what to do with what belongs to him?
No.
So why do we do that? Why do we get all mad at God, you know, and everything? Because he's doing what he wants to do. It's his business. It's not mine. I told him, I said, you know, when I learned that God was in total control and the Lord was the one that killed my wife and my daughter, he flipped out. He said, Thurman, don't you ever say on my TV set that God killed your wife and your daughter. I said, well, he did. I said, in fact, I got news for you. Every one of you in this room, one day, he's going to kill you. You're going to die when he's ready. Not when you're ready. When he's ready. And you ain't going to have nothing to say about it. You can do all the pleading you want to, but it don't make any difference. Until he's ready for you to go home, you ain't going home. If he's ready for you to go home at 45 years of age, guess what? If he's ready for you to go home at 24, like my daughter, guess what? You're out of here. If he's going to let me live to be 90, then that's, if he lets me be 80, then I ain't far off. Bill's already past his 80. But the thing about it is, what you need to do is realize we're fighting a battle. We're children of God. We're fighting a battle, and that battle is ours, and we're here to run this race and to fight this battle with Jesus Christ, our King and our Lord. And he is in control. And don't get upset or angry with anybody, because I guarantee the very second that you get upset with somebody, the devil is going to open the door and walk right into your house. And you're not going to like what he's going to do. And this, just like this woman that we were talking about there, that chief's wife or whatever, she had that stroke. Nobody was there. And he said he can do anything he wants to do, since he can heal or do whatever he wants to do. But there's something that we have learned about strokes. Strokes are caused by people that get into bitterness and anger with somebody else. If you want to have a stroke, just get into bitterness and unforgiveness. Get into some kind of unforgiveness and bitterness. And just like they said, just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, we're not unaware of the devil's ways. We know what he will do. But that's amazing that night that I prayed for that woman. Actually, I guess more or less it wasn't a prayer of praying. It was a prayer of command. Because God has given you and me this power and authority. And when I prayed and I exercised my power and authority over Satan and his host of demons and commanded those demons to leave and go away and to not come back, everything started working within, actually it started happening immediately. Because within an hour, she'd already made the phone call for her husband, ex-husband to come get her.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? In fact, the first time that Cheryl and I, after we got married, first time I told that at some church somewhere, I forget, Cheryl said, "That is the wildest story I've ever heard in my life." She said, "You've got to tell that everywhere we go." She said, "People don't know these things."
That one and the one about the lady in the wheelchair.
And the one about what?
The lady in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah. She told me, she said, another one you tell that I wanted you to tell the people. There was a lady down in Louisiana, and she was about 60 years old, I guess, 65, somewhere along there. But anyway, this woman was in a wheelchair. I went down there and done a healing conference. After we got through teaching, I asked the lady, I said, "Why do you think you're in that wheelchair?" She said, "Because I'm getting old." Well, that's what we think. I mean, we got to blame it on something, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she's getting old, 60 years old, but yet here just a couple of years ago, she was able to run and jump and play and do all the things she was doing, but she's only 60 years old. Now she's 64, 65, and she can't walk. She ain't got enough energy, so she's got to be in a wheelchair all the time. And so I told her, I said, "Well, what would you say if I told you there's some kind of sin in your life that's causing this?" Well, she said, "I don't believe that." I said, "You don't believe sin makes you sick?" She said, "Oh, no, no, no." So it's just, I'm just getting old and tired, and that's just the way it is. I said, "Well, let's think." I said, "Are you married?" She said, "Well, I used to be." And said, "My husband died." And I said, "Well, were you healthy before he died?" "Oh, yeah, I was perfectly healthy. We could do anything we wanted to do, and everything was working good, and we could go places and do things." And I said, "Then your husband died, and then what happened?" She said, "Well, within a couple of years, I started getting weak." And said, "Slowly but surely, I got weaker and weaker, and finally I got to where I couldn't walk, so I had to ride around in a wheelchair all the time. It come over in about a 3-year period." I looked at it in a minute, and I says, "How did your life change? What did you do different after your husband died that you didn't do before?" He said, "Nothing." I said, "Oh, yeah, something changed. Somewhere, something changed." I says, "Let's stop and think about this a minute. All of a sudden, your husband dies and you're healthy. 2 years later, you're having a problem getting around. 5 years later, you're in a wheelchair and you can't get around without a wheelchair." I said, "During this little span of history, what did your lifestyle, how did you change?" She said, "Well, it didn't change." I said, "Oh, yeah, it changed. You just didn't see it." I said, "So let's stop and think about what you did." So as we started talking about her life, I said, "You know, after, say, in a year, did you do anything different than you used to do when your husband was alive?" "No, everything's the same." I said, "You eat the same things and food and all that stuff?" Yeah, no problem." I said, did you start going with another person?" No. I said, "Did you have any kind of intimacy any kind of physical contact with a man. She said, well, yes, I guess I did. I said, in other words, let me just put this on the table and let's really be blunt. Did you start having sex with anybody that you didn't have sex with before? I said, you and your husband, were y'all both normal when you were married? Yes, we were normal. I said, so were you able to enjoy a sexual relation with your husband? Yes. I said, well, when your husband died, then you don't have a husband. I said, did you get involved with another man somehow? She said, well, yeah. She said, the meter reader, the guy that reads the water meter, said, I got to talking with him and said we would talk about certain things when he came by to read the meter and would visit a little while. And so she said, after 3 or 4 months, we had a sexual relationship. And I said, so you have one just about every month, huh? She said, yes. And so I said, so this is when you started getting weak. So she said, you're trying to tell me you think that sin of sexual intimacy is causing this problem? I said, yes, ma'am, I think that's what's causing your problem. I said, God clearly said no sexual immorality among his children. Did he say a little sex or did he say no sex? What did he say? Okay, if he says no sex, then if you take the scripture, and the scripture that says, if you see a person sin, and they go out and do something that they're not supposed to, and you go tell them what they're doing is wrong, and if they will repent, you will have saved that sinner from death.
Yeah.
So I said, the death is following what you're doing. She said, you mean you think this is going to kill me? I said, I guarantee it will. It's written in God's word. I'm telling you, you got to change. You got to stop having sex with that meter reader. You got to repent. And then clearly the scripture says in 1 John 5:1-9, if you will confess your sin, he's what?
Faithful.
He's faithful and
just.
And
cleanses.
And forgives. Wow. So I said, do you want to walk again, ma'am? She said, well, of course. I said, tell the Lord you're sorry for doing what you're doing, and you make him a promise you will have no sex with nobody unless you marry them first. She said, well, I really didn't realize this was sin. But she said, I've been raised a Catholic all my life, and I didn't know this. I said, then that's even better. If you didn't know it, you know, God will forgive you even easier. So anyway, she asked the Lord to forgive her, made him a promise she would never do this no more. And then I just walked over to this lady and I said, would you like to walk? She said, yes. I just done that. When I did, she just stood right up. And as she did, she just walked off. And she said, I am perfectly normal. She wasn't weak or anything. So anyway, Cheryl said that after we saw that one, she said, you know, you've got to tell the women. I've seen several women that I know is doing something like that, having sex with a man once in a while and not married to him. And after a few years, at 40 or 50 years of age, they're getting weak where they can't walk. And so she said, you've got to tell people what causes this. You know, sometimes you can present the story where the Lord says, if you repent of your sin, he will forgive you your sin and restore you to fellowship. And if that's all you say is that little part, you miss the story. Yeah. You got to tell people point blank. They got to be able to see it. You know, you got to be able to punch them right between the running lights. You know, because they don't hear. I mean, when you say, you know, don't you know that sin brings forth death? I mean, in Romans 3, I mean, I've read that so many times in Romans. Sin brings forth death. If you'd ask me, do you think sin brings forth death? I'd say absolutely. But I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that these saints like this would cause it. I didn't believe that until I saw it work. Then when I started praying for people that were living in sin, if I could get them to repent and quit sinning, then I could get them healed. Just like this chieftain's wife over there in Africa where this young man went. They had nobody to tell them what caused a stroke. So whenever that doctor, not the doctor, but whenever the pastor's wife when the pastor's wife prayed for her, God can do anything he wants to do.
Amen.
He had no problem healing that person. Now that person may live, and he may let them stay healed. They've seen the glory of God. They know it works. And it may go on for years, and she may never have another stroke. Or she may go on 5 or 10 years, and she doesn't learn the principles, and she gets angry at somebody again. She could open that door to the devil, and he could come back in and kill her. You know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing how all this works? Wow, praise the Lord. It never ceases to amaze me. Wow. God is so good. You know, does the scripture say? In fact, let's go read that. Let's go to James chapter 5, verses 16. Start with verse 14. James 5, 14. Through verse 20, through the end of that chapter.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Okay, now stop right there just a second. When you look at that right there, if we didn't have another scripture in scripture for healing, if that was the only one God had given us, how many of us should be able to get healed? All of us that believe. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I've been anointed with oil and prayed the prayer of faith. So I'm healed. I don't care what anything happens. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what's going on. It's written in that book, I'm healed. I'm healed. Just like last Sunday, we laid hands on Bill. Does it say if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover?
Yes.
I mean, about 50 of us laid hands on him right here.
Amen.
And so he's healed. So I'm healed. You're healed. If you believe, you're healed. But anyway, we go ahead and read a little further, honey.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
And how many of us are righteous?
All
of us. Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
Now keep reading.
Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
Okay. Hold it just a second. Father, in Jesus' name, we still need rain.
Yes.
Lord, you said for righteous men to pray and ask you for whatever they need. We need rain. So, Father, one more time, we ask you to be merciful to us, forgive us of our sin, and send forth rain. We need a beautiful 4, 5, or 6 inch rain to take care of this area. And we thank you and praise you. It all belongs to you. But we're praying and asking you to send that beautiful rain in Jesus' name. Thank you for the rain. Okay, now we've asked him again for the rain. Now press on.
Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Okay. You know, you can look at that any way you want to, but the way I read that, if you go out and do something that's wrong and you don't realize what you're doing, you're sinning and nobody finds you doing it. Or maybe somebody will see you and they say, well, it ain't no use for me to say nothing. They can do what they want to do. No, if they're your brother in Christ and you see them sinning, you need to tell them the truth.
Amen.
They need to stop sinning. If they stop sinning, if they listen to you, what did God say is going to happen when they listen?
You're
going to save a soul from death. What if they don't listen? Then they're going to die. You don't want to sin, do you?
No.
Read that one more time, that last part.
Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Yeah. See, that little 21-year-old girl over here, Justin, a few years ago, that moved in with a boy. And in 5 years, that couple had 3 children. And they never did get married. Now, her daddy came to me and asked me to go tell her that what she was doing was wrong. So I went over there and told her what she was doing was wrong. I said, honey, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, you as a Christian, don't you know you can't sleep with this boy and have sex with this boy? I said, he's not a believer. And so I asked him, would he like to invite Jesus into his life? And he says, no. Well, back in those days, I didn't know how to do what I can do today. I didn't really realize the authority that I had, although I did know it, but I didn't know it like I needed to know it. So I didn't know how to be forceful with him and get that boy to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So anyway, when I couldn't get it done, in 5 years I went to that house 3 times, tried my best to get them to get married, accept Jesus, but they would neither one ever do it. That last time I went, I told him, I said, you know, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, if you defile your temple, God will destroy your temple. Now then, if your temple, what is your temple? Your body. This thing right here that we live in. He says, now, if you go out and defile that, now, you can defile it lots of ways. You could overwork. You can overeat, you can overdrink, you can oversmoke, you can do all kinds of things and cause all kinds of problems with your temple. You should take care of your temple, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you definitely should take care of your temple. But I tried to get them and she wouldn't listen. When I said, where the Lord says there, he will destroy your temple, I said, yeah, that means he will kill you. Now that got her attention. But she said, Mr. Scrivener, you are crazy. God would never kill me. I said, but honey, he says he will. Does he say he will?
Yes, he does.
If you defile your temple, he will destroy your temple. Is that what he said?
Sure did. Yeah.
So anyway, I told her, I said, you really need to pay attention and need to start doing things God's way. She just thought I had lost my mind. And she said, I don't believe that. God would never hurt me. He would especially never kill me. He said, he will forgive me. I said, yeah, if you repent and turn from your wicked way, he'll forgive you. But I said, you got to quit doing what you're doing. She wouldn't do it. And I told her, I said, well, I don't know how thin the ice is you're walking on, but it's very thin. I don't know how much more time God's going to give you. But I said, you need to straighten up. Well, she would not straighten up. And 1 month after that, she had a massive heart attack and died. 21 years old. Is a 21-year-old supposed to die?
No.
Not at 21. But did God say, go tell a sinner what they're doing?
Yes.
And if they will change, you will win that soul from death. Is that what he said? Wow. Does God mean business, Baron?
Absolutely.
Will he do what he said?
All day, every day.
I don't want to be on that judging end, do you, son? No.
I'm not in that tree.
No, we're not in that tree.
Do what?
The tree of good knowledge of good and evil.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord. You want to stay in that right tree, right? Wow. Yes, sir.
According to John 5:16, it is written, pray ye one for another so that ye may be healed. I want to reciprocate with you for what you did for me last week. It also, the word also says, the righteous will take it by force.
Amen.
Right now, I I condemn every demon that's coming into your body, that's done anything to your health, any you're shaking, any of your eye problems, or anything else that any satanic force can bring against you right now, according to Matthew 18:18. I bind him away today on earth as he's bound in heaven.
Amen.
But I also stand on the scripture, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that I ask for the same healing for this man that he did for me, according to your word, and it is written. And I command that your health be restored to you totally this day, from this moment forward, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Amen. Are we all in agreement with that? All those in agreement? So you just said, now you said Matthew 18:19, if two of us on earth agree about anything, it's done. So I'm healed because it's written. Bill's healed. We're all healed. We're going to walk in over. He's doing a great work. You can't go by what you see. In fact, I was talking to the Lord this morning myself, and I'm thinking, Lord, Smith Wigglesworth, he had to suffer with kidney stones for 5 years. 5 years. So I don't have any of those, praise God, and I'm so grateful. But I'm going to believe, it doesn't make any difference how bad I shake or whatever. I believe I'm healed, Mary. It's a done deal. Glory to God. I mean, he's doing the work, and I know that he hears our prayers. I know he has a plan, because when you get as many prayer answers for Cheryl and I get on the internet, you see as many, these are just a part of the miracles that we see. But when you pray and see God do those kind of things, you can be assured he's hearing your prayer.
Amen.
But he's saying, I have a plan.
Right.
And who does this belong to, Gracie?
God.
Does this belong to Gracie?
No.
It belongs to God, right?
Amen.
It belongs to the Lord. And your body, who does it belong to?
God.
Yeah, if you have made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, your body is not your own. It belongs to him. So whatever he wants to do with it, that's okay with me. So don't go argue with him and tell him he can't do it. Don't you know what you're doing? Yeah, he's okay. He knows what he's doing. He's doing something. He's doing a great work in you and me, and he's going to do a greater work. So just believe it and go. In fact, I got real tickled the other day. Jerry and Camilla were visiting with some church somewhere. And some kind of a, maybe it's a little club or something she goes to. And one of the ladies asked her, where do you go to church? She says, I go to church at the Living Savior Church. She said, oh, isn't that Thurman Scribner's church? And she said, well, yes, he's the pastor. She said, oh, that's the church where all the prayers are answered. We love that, don't we?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference whether Baron prays or Mike prays or Gracie prays or Cheryl, any of our prayer warriors. We got several. When we pray, what happens? Scott, he hears our prayer, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
All the time he hears, so it doesn't make any difference how he answers them. He's got it under control. So you don't have to be excited. You know, he's got it under control. The master knows what he's doing, and he's big enough to handle my problem and yours too.
Amen.
So you don't have to sweat it. So, okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for the rain you're going to send. We definitely need some rain. I thank you, Lord, that you sent a little rain yesterday. But, Lord, we sure do need some more. So we need the 4 or 5 inches, Lord. So we thank you and praise you for the beautiful rain and all the things you'll do. You told us to ask, and you would answer. So, Lord, we're asking and thanking you for the rain. Now, Lord, as we minister to people, pray for people, may you meet their needs and do a great work in everybody's life. Open our hearts that we may see and know the truth of your word, that we may be able to answer and get answers to all of our questions. And we just praise you and thank you for being the mighty God that you are. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.